For those of you who don't...
This is Erica with your concert billboard update for Saturday, July 11th. Tonight, Weird Al Yankovic at the Ritz. Sunday, July 12th, Blues Travelers, Spin Doctors, and Fish at Jones Beach and Paul Anka at Westbury Music Fair. Monday, July 13th, John Cougar Mellencamp at Jones Beach. Tuesday, July 14th, John Cougar Mellencamp at Jones Beach. Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers with Eddie Rabbit at Westbury Music Fair. And Babylon AD, Roxy Blue, and Wildside at the Marquee. Wednesday, July 15th, William Clark at Manny's Car Wash. John Cougar Mellencamp at Jones Beach and Kenny Rogers at Westbury Music Fair. Thursday, July 16th, Ozzy Osbourne, Slaughter, and Ugly Kid Joe at the Meadowlands Arena. Bo Diddley at South Street Seaport. Larry McRae at Manny's Car Wash and Kenny Rogers at Westbury Music Fair. Friday, July 17th, Paula Abdul and Color Me Bad at Jones Beach. Kenny Rogers at Westbury Music Fair and Material Issue the Cave Dogs and the Belt at the Marquee. Saturday, July 18th, Patti LaBelle at Westbury Music Fair. Paula Abdul and Color Me Bad at Jones Beach. And Arrested Development with Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy at the Marquee. Sunday, July 19th, Patti LaBelle at Westbury Music Fair. Monday, July 20th, The Righteous Brothers at Westbury Music Fair. Wednesday, July 22nd, Willie Nelson at Westbury Music Fair. Thursday, July 23rd, Vince Gill and Mary Chapin Carpenter at Westbury Music Fair. The Cure, Dinosaur Jr. and the Cranes at Flushing Meadows Corona Park. Spyro Gyra at South Street Seaport. Friday, July 24th, Santana at Jones Beach and God Flesh at the Marquee. And Saturday, July 25th, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer at Jones Beach and the Manhattan Transfer at Westbury Music Fair. Concert billboard can be heard weekdays, 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and at midnight. If you have any further questions, feel free to call the station at 632-6901. And stay tuned to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
Yeah. Congratulations. You have reached the Corona CSO.
Are we learning yet? Congratulations. You've successfully tuned your radio dial and found yourself in the midst of brain damage. Two hours of the most predictable radio you'll ever want to hear. In exactly 1 minute, we'll give you a time check. It's 23 degrees outdoors. It's 22 degrees indoors. It's 10 minutes after 12. Our Associated Press wire is working, and not only is it working, but it looks better. They finally figured out how to use dashes to make the printout look aesthetically pleasing, so every story that comes across now has a little headline surrounded by dots and dashes. Now, it looks more aesthetically pleasing to us, but of course, there's no way you could appreciate that listening to it on the radio. So that's why we feel obligated to mention it every time we read the news. And yes, that's a clue that we are going to read the news. Or at least the bits of it that look somewhat interesting. That narrows it down to about 7%. But it's a good 7%. For instance, 4, 20, 30, 33, 40, 46, supplementary 32. Those are the winning lottery numbers for a state I'm not going to tell you. But your chances are 1 in 50 at last count. Must be the most frustrating thing in the world to get the right numbers for the wrong state. Well, speaking of frustration, it took nearly 50 years, but Ray Vasby has finally married his sweetheart. Talk about beating around the bush. Patsy Holmes, after a world war, erased their first engagement. Okay, I guess it wasn't totally his fault then. How does a world war erase your first engagement? I don't know. Vasby, a 68-year-old retired yacht builder from Baltimore, traveled to South Carolina by bus 2 months ago. He went to see the British woman he proposed to when Europe was in the midst of World War II. Vasby was 19 when he met and fell in love with the ginger-haired Olga Patricia Dulciber Sewell. She's got four names. I mean, I'll overlook the ginger-hairedness, but four names. And one of them is Olga. Anyway, he met her in a little town near London, where he was stationed with the army. They had planned to marry, but Basby was sent to France to help prepare for the Allied invasion. Both ended up marrying other people and raising families, and both eventually disposed of their spouses, so now they can live a life of bliss. And they planned to honeymoon in Iowa, of all places. You know, I just was in Iowa for the first time in my life. I've got a lot of catching up to do. Actually, everyone out there is catching up to do because I've had some adventures, but Iowa was one of them. And it's, you know, it's okay. It's nice. But as I was asked by somebody who worked in a Pizza Hut in, I believe it was Mount Vernon, Iowa. Yeah, it's a Mount Vernon, Iowa. This person asked me, "Why in the world are you stopping here?" Now, can you imagine saying that to somebody about the place you live? Someone traveling through? Why in the world did you stop here? I mean, it makes you think what kind of outlook they have on their little town, on their way of life. How meaningless, how worthless is it? Our outlook here in the Three Village area is, hold on, we'll get to you when we get to you. And I think that's a more healthy outlook, and that's not even coming close to the New York City outlook. But then again, things are different in different places, as I certainly learned over these past 2 weeks. Honeymoon in Iowa. Maybe that's why they're doing it, you know, so people will ask them, "Why are you here?" All right, we've got Bill Clinton now. He's in the Big Apple to claim the Democratic presidential nomination. Oh, would I like to. Clinton was accompanied by his wife, Hillary, and daughter. Okay, what's his daughter's name? Do you know his daughter's name? Do you know Bill Clinton's daughter's name?
Mary.
No, you're wrong. I know it.
Felicia.
I have it right here. And since I'm the only one in listening area that has, you know, an AP news report in front of them, I hereby challenge anybody to come up with Bill Clinton's daughter's name.
Well,
and don't you go inside and look at the old report and find out that way. No.
No, you
don't know, so you're out of the contest. Forget it.
That's it? You only get two chances each?
You got two chances? You're only supposed to have one.
I said Mary and Felicia.
Oh, that's right. Well, I didn't even pay attention to you the second time, so even if you had gotten it right, I would have ignored you. But it isn't Felicia and it isn't Mary.
Do the Gores have a daughter?
Oh, I don't even want to get started on the Gores. I mean, I can't believe it. He picks Al Gore. Do you want Tipper Gore anywhere near the White House? Do you want that woman anywhere near a place of power? Like a president? I mean, what was he thinking? I cannot vote Democratic for the first time that I can think of, because I'm scared of her. I'm not scared of her. I'm scared of what I might do with her in the White House. For those who don't know, it's not a personal thing between me and the tipster here. This is something that that she did along with a couple other senators' wives, and it wasn't anything interesting. It was founding the PMRSC, and the PMRSC, my friends, is that wonderful organization that is responsible for you having to be proofed to buy record albums now. It's that organization that was responsible for record companies voluntarily putting labels on their records and thereby classifying certain records as off-limits to kids or people under 18. So I had to show proof to buy the Ice-T record. Don't look at that.
No.
I had to show proof to buy the Ice-T record a couple of weeks ago because of people like her. And I don't want that kind of sentiment running rampant in the halls of the White House there.
But she's got good morals.
And Barbara Bush is better than she is. You know? Marilyn Quayle. I'll even take her. But Tipper Gore. Oh, no. I mean, she's only a heartbeat away from being the First Lady. You know? She doesn't have to knock off Hillary. Just Bill has to buy it, and then she becomes the first lady. I mean, I think it should be that both of them have to die in order for both of them to advance, right? If Bill Clinton snuffs it, then okay, Al Gore is president, but Hillary Clinton should still be the first lady, I think. Maybe we could have an amendment rushed through the Congress so that, Tipper Gore doesn't advance quickly that way. Because she's career-minded, I'll have you know. She knows what she wants, and she gets it. Good night. All right. Kevin's leaving. We're staying. We're going to hash this out, my friends. We're going to find out where you stand. I can tell you where I stand right now. I think the Bush-Quayle ticket is abominable. I think the Clinton-Gore ticket sucks. What does that leave? That leaves... Uh-oh. At least somebody that, quite frankly, scares me. H. Ross Perot. People always scare me when their first names are letters. But I think, and I've said this before, but I think it's going to be proven true, that his whole chance of winning anything in this campaign rests on who he picks for vice president. Not even a doubt in my mind now. I'd like to ask people who they think he should pick. Who should Perot pick as his vice presidential choice that would give him a solid chance? Clinton, Gore. Ugh. Sounds terrible, too. It is terrible, but it sounds terrible. And you know, their slogan is the next generation. A new generation of political power. Because they're both in their 40s. All of a sudden, you got these youngsters running things. You got Quayle in his 40s, and Clinton and Gore, and... I don't know. Certainly shook me up. That's one of the things I heard about while I was rampaging around the country. The other thing, of course, was the abortion ruling by the Supreme Court, which kind of caught me by surprise because I was sort of expecting them to really throw out Roe versus Wade. And I think the only reason they didn't was because of certain reasons, like Sandra Day O'Connor didn't want to be the woman to cast the deciding vote that took away the rights of women to have abortions or to choose. And you have a degree of moderation in the Supreme Court, which some of us maybe were a little too quick to say had evaporated. Okay, there is some moderation there, but no matter what... Look at the facts here. It came to within one vote of being overturned completely. One vote. All it would take is one of those three people to change their minds. And they're certainly capable of changing their minds. And it's history. And we all know where good old I don't have an opinion on this matter, Justice Thomas, stands now, don't we? Yeah, we certainly do. So... You have a Supreme Court justice who's going to be leaving real soon, retiring. That's Blackmun, of course. And it all depends on who gets elected this November. If Bush is elected, then he's going to put in somebody that will no doubt cast that deciding vote. And if someone else gets elected, maybe civilization has a chance. I'll have to ask for more details on this particular order that you're placing in front of me, so maybe you could write out exactly what it is you're referring to, and then I will... Sorry about that, folks. Sometimes technical things get in the way. Okay, what I'd like you to do, first of all, before we get started with the real show today, I'd like everybody to sit back and relax, okay? I mean it. Now, some of you, I know, call up the radio station and you sort of put the phone on speakerphone and you wander around the house and clean up and feed the cat and have parties and things like that. I'm asking you to stop that right now. I mean, not permanently. Just stop it, stop it for the moment, please, because I have something very important I want to share with you. And it's going to require that you listen carefully. And, in fact, listen not, so loudly that you annoy the people who live in neighboring states, but... loudly, so that you can hear little subtle things that will be going on in your radio. And This is also important. If you're listening to us in mono, push that little stereo button, please, and listen to us in stereo. Unless you get all this awful static when you do that, but hopefully you won't, because this is stereo sensitive. Oh, and if you have headphones, oh, by all means, go get your headphones. I'll even wait 30 seconds so you can find those headphones and plug them in, because this is going to be worth it. But you got to listen in stereo if you have headphones. Well, I'm going to give everybody about another 20 seconds, okay? 20 seconds of silence now is what you're going to hear on the radio. 20 seconds, is just to underline how important this is. 20 seconds of silence beginning now. Oh, I'm sorry, that was 25 seconds. I got sidetracked there. That happens sometimes. Okay. Everybody ready? Everybody sitting around? Everybody concentrating? All right. I want you to take a journey with me now. Experiencing the magic of radio. We're outside. Outside in a field. Nice sunny day. And we happen to be on what is known as the Northeast Corridor. The Northeast Corridor. What that is a passageway between Washington, D.C. and New York City. And it's used by trains to get from one point to another. And coming from the south, and heading towards the north, right now as we sit here on this field, we can see a train in the distance, and it's coming towards us extremely fast, about 115 miles an hour. Close your eyes. It's coming closer. Did you hear it? I heard it. And what a lot of fun that was. This is a CD I picked up visiting my friend Mike Juhas over there in Milwaukee. And of course, he's into trains in a way no one is into trains. And there's all kinds of neat things here. For instance, this might sound familiar to some of you because it's a fairly local area. Oh, what fun. Well, we're going to let this play a little bit while we take care of some other business. You'll hear various sounds of birds and crickets and freight trains, various other bits of nature there. Anyway, Bill Clinton, I think I only said two words of that whole story, but let's see if we can get a little bit more said. Bill Clinton is in the Big Apple to claim the Democratic presidential nomination. He was accompanied by his wife, Hillary, and... Oh, no, I almost read his daughter's name, and I have not done that yet. That's where I got up to. Okay. So the challenge is still on if people want to get his daughter's name there. Anyway, as he arrived at New York's LaGuardia Airport, the Democratic nominee-to-be said he offered voters a chance to bring this country back. Is that what Reagan said? After 12 years of Republican rule. And Clinton said if elected, he would use the White House to rebuild this country, to reunite this country, to give us a sense of renewal. The Arkansas governor arrived as Madison Square Garden completed the conversion from sports arena to made-for-television convention hall. Democratic delegates by the thousands flocked to their convention city. Good Lord. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, of all people, has endorsed Bill Clinton's presidential candidacy, saying he intends to vote for him in November. Huh. The civil rights activist made the announcement at the close of his CNN program. Both sides with Jesse Jackson. That's a freight train if I ever heard one. Jackson's studio guest, New York City Mayor David Dinkins, and Texas Governor Ann Richards welcomed the announcement. Said Dinkins, congratulations. Richards chimed in, welcome aboard, in the train spirit there. Jackson is scheduled to speak to the Democratic National Convention on Tuesday, but his appearance was contingent on his endorsing Clinton. Well, that's a pretty lousy deal if you ask me. You can only speak if you endorse the party line. Uh-oh, let's hear about this one. Independent presidential hopeful Ross Perot says he's sorry if he upset anyone with his remarks to the NAACP. In a telephone interview with CNN, Perot said it never occurred to him that his audience would be offended and said if he offended anybody in any way, I certainly apologize. Now, can we just forget about it? God damn it. More or less, he said that. In a speech to the NAACP convention in Nashville, Perot used the phrase, your people and you people, in making some of his points. Perot immediately expressed regret after his speech when asked about his phrasing. He repeated that sentiment in the CNN interview. Well, now, if you're going to get somebody for something that, you know, has a little bit of substance to it. You people? I can live with that. Anyway, a Time Magazine CNN survey puts Vice Presidential hopeful Al Gore in front of the man who currently holds the job, Dan Quayle. I think I could beat out Dan Quayle. Of those questioned, 63% said the Tennessee senator is more qualified to be president than Quayle. 21% picked Quayle over Gore. A third of those surveyed think they're more likely to vote for Democrat Bill Clinton now that Gore's on his ticket. Asked who they would vote for if the election were held today, there was a statistical tie between Bush, Clinton, and undeclared candidate Ross Perot, which tells you the value of polls. That echoes the results of other recent polls, which are completely meaningless. Yes. Another moderate earthquake in California. Authorities in Southern California report slight damage and minor injuries to one person. The Timbler was estimated at 5.1 on the Richter scale. It was one of dozens of Timblers felt since twin quakes devastated... All right. Devastated... desert and mountain communities nearly 2 weeks ago. The quake was centered 12 miles northeast of the desert community of Mojave, about 90 miles north of Los Angeles. The quake was felt in downtown Los Angeles, where authorities rolled out fire engines to make a routine post-quake inspection of neighborhoods. It's getting kind of annoying. National Operation Rescue leaders have ended a three-day siege of an abortion clinic in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and they're claiming victory over abortion rights forces at the Delta Women's Clinic. Abortion rights supporters are also claiming victory. A group outside the clinic broke into a celebration of dancing, clapping, and chanting as the number of protesters dwindled. The final day of the protest was the most intense. Groups ranging in size from 3 to more than 50 charged police lines, but none got past a chain-link fence surrounding the clinic. weekend in Sarajevo. UN peacekeepers in Bosnia-Herzegovina say the warring parties have agreed to allow safe passage for aid convoys from the Sarajevo airport to the Hungary city. The accord on a safe corridor for the aid also calls for a several-hour ceasefire tomorrow to bring food to Dobrinja. That's a district near the airport that UN convoys have been unable to reach. Sporadic shelling continues in the besieged capital. Mortar rounds fell near the headquarters and barracks of the UN peacekeeping force. Sniper attacks intensified today and at least three people were killed. And then there's a story about Ray Vasby again getting married after all that time. But I think we've come full circle. Certainly have. Freight trains are great, you know. I don't know if you've ever seen one pass by. You certainly don't see them on Long Island, but I saw a few when I was traveling. Actually, I saw a big one in Iowa right after I talked to that person and said, why did you stop here? Why, to see the freight trains, of course. Why else would anybody go to Iowa? Now, if you listened a couple of weeks ago, you might have heard me on the telephone from St. Louis talking about the backward hat incident. To summarize, and I'd like to get feedback from people, too. We are taking phone calls, by the way, at 632-6901. And oh, what the hell. I'll open up the other lines, 632-6500. Yes, a couple of weeks ago, walking around a mall in St. Louis with a bunch of computer hackers, wearing our hats backwards, we were accosted by redneck security guards. Black redneck security guards, mind you. I mean, I've seen amazing things before, but that was something I hadn't expected to see in my lifetime anyway. But yes, the transition has occurred, and you can be a redneck no matter what color you are. And they said they didn't like the way we were wearing our hats, and we had to turn them the right way. And then they even showed us a sign of mall regulations that said clothing must be worn in the way in which it was intended. Well, there's probably about 14 violations of that in this room alone. But the upshot of it was that we went and we bought some more hats. We went to Sears, and we were friendly about it. We bought St. Louis Cardinals hats. We didn't want to antagonize anybody, but we wore them backwards because we have every right to wear our hats any way we feel. At least that's the absurd notion that we got growing up in this country. And we did that, and we were surrounded very quickly by a whole lot of security guards who told us that if we didn't turn our hats around, we'd have to leave. And the reason for that was that we would get shot for sure if we wore our hats backwards, because rival gangs would see us as a threat. Wearing your hat backwards tells people that you're part of some kind of a gang. And we found that so hard to believe, you know. We said, how can so many gangs be roaming around malls if there's so much security guards? You know, I mean, why don't you throw out the people with the guns instead of the people with the hats? And it just kind of escalated from there. We wound up leaving because we didn't feel like getting arrested and spending days in jail in St. Louis. There's better things to do, but we did walk all the way around the mall on the outside. All the way around. But we got lost. It wasn't intentional, but we probably would have done it anyway. And we could see that they were watching us the whole way. Security guards. Nobody else cared. There weren't any gangs roaming around. I think gangs are a little more intelligent. Even gangs are more intelligent than that. To know that it's a little more than just the way you wear your hat. And even if it was, even if wearing your hat backwards was an invitation to be shot at by somebody, you don't outlaw the hats, you outlaw the action of shooting someone for wearing a hat. It's called freedom of speech. There's a story about freedom of speech, actually, in this AP thing. It had to do with the Klan. Yeah, military puts Klan rally off limits. The U.S. military has ordered troops to stay away from a Ku Klux Klan rally next weekend in Colorado Springs, Colorado, but the ACLU says it may challenge that in court. But anyway, that's not the kind of freedom of speech that we really stand for anyway. But that was only one of the fun incidents that I had as I was away for the last 2 weeks. The most recent one came only a few days ago. I went up to Montreal. Wonderful city. I suggest people go there as soon as they can. But the only disadvantage, and this is going to sound really nasty, but the only disadvantage to going to Montreal is that you have to come back to this country. All right, get it all out of your system now. Giant, unpatriotic, ingrate, spiteful, nasty, horrible, ugly things to say. Okay, you finished? You finished with your self-righteousness? Okay, I have a reason for saying that. And the reason is that it's always such a damn hassle getting back into this country for no good reason. You know, when we went to Canada, I was with a friend of mine. Oh, boy. Let's let that one go by. Okay. We went to Canada, and you pass through this little, like, toll booth thing, and you're asked a few questions, like, where are you from? Where you going? Why are you going to Canada? How long are you going to stay? Enjoy your trip. Goodbye. Et cetera, et cetera. And that's about it. On the way back, however, we knew we were in trouble when we saw a black family four cars ahead of us being searched. You know, they were opening up the back of the car and looking through it, and everybody had to get out. And then they sent them into the interrogation room after that. Then there were three more cars with single white males, like business people. It literally took about 3 seconds for them to be accepted back into the country. Just, you know, a glance at them. Okay, go through. Okay, go through. Okay, go through. Wait. That's when they got to us. Apparently they don't like tie-dye shirts. Which is why I'm going to wear a lot of tie-dye shirts from now on. I wasn't even wearing my hat backwards. I wasn't even wearing a hat at all. Maybe that was the problem. But anyway, this Border Patrol guard, his name should be Olga. Last name should be Hitler, I think. Started asking questions, but you could tell with every question she asked, she was getting more and more snide and obnoxious, you know? Like, so, what were you doing in Canada? And, what do you do for a living? And, you know, it became clear that she was out to harass us after about 17 of those questions. And so my attitude started to change as well, because the way I look at it, I live here. I don't have to put up with this garbage. In fact, very few people should have to put up with this garbage, but considering the fact that, you know, these are civil servants and I pay their damn salaries, I shouldn't have to put up with that. So after a while of answering all these questions, and I did answer every question truthfully, such as when told that I occasionally write articles, being asked, well, what kind of things do you write about? And saying things like, well, I write about my travel experiences and the interaction I have with Border Patrol people. I got the question from her, why is it I get the feeling that you're not being honest with me? I said, I honestly don't know. Maybe you're just one of those suspicious people that is looking for things that don't exist. But in any event, there was never an occasion where we withheld any information. Everything was always explained. You think we stole the car? Hey, look up the license plate. Go ahead. Takes about 10 seconds. No problem. We'll wait. Well, after being as patient as we could, she slapped a big leather pouch on our windshield and told us to go to garage number one. And that's where they search you, interrogate you, do other various things to you. And for the next 3 hours, that's where we were. I had to get out of the car, had to empty our pockets, had to answer the same questions over and over and over again. Ordered to sit down in a chair not move. Watch as they ripped apart the car 3 separate times. Took all the wiring out, went into the seats, under the carpet. Went through all of our personal belongings, our luggage, our dirty laundry. Asked questions about the kind of reading material we had. And after a while, we just had to tell them that this was enough. You know, at one point I asked, why is it that coming into this country is like being arrested? You know what the guy said? This is what really got me. He said, it's just a routine interrogation here. Actually, he didn't use the word interrogation. He said, it's just a routine search. Everyone has to go through this. And by this point, I was really mad. I said, like hell, everyone has to go through this. The only people you've got in here are black people and people with tie-dye shirts. And he muttered, well, I have one at home. And which do you think he meant? A black person or a tie-dye shirt? I don't know. But it was very frustrating seeing this, because time after time, and it was without fail, and if you don't believe me, go up on the thruway, New York State thruway, to the border, and go into that little building that they have, the United States side, and watch who they pull over and who they let through. And I swear to God, the only people that they were pulling in were minorities. Nobody else. Oh yeah, there were some white people that came in, but you know, those white people were the people that were declaring more than $10,000 on the way in. They kept asking us if we had over $10,000 with us. Said, you know, it's not illegal. It's not legal for you to have more than $10,000, but you do have to tell us. After a while, we decided to have fun, you know. We decided not to let this get to us, even though it was getting to us. And we had little secret conversations where they couldn't hear what we were saying, but we saw them watching us. And we decided to get up and wander around, because it was ridiculous sitting in the same chair all the time. And we explored, and we found payphones. We started calling people all over the country and having them call us back. We were having a great old time, talking to people, conversing, reminiscing about old times. And right when we were really getting into it, they said that we were free to go. We were free to come back into this country. And so, you know, we wrapped things up on the phone and got back into the car. And we made a point of going through every little bit of luggage and every part of the car to make sure that they hadn't taken anything, that they hadn't messed up anything. And they did. They had broken 2 of our electronic devices that they thought were suspicious, which were actually things you could buy at Radio Shack. They had left one of their flashlights in the car. Given the choice between keeping it as a souvenir or making them look like idiots, we decided to choose the latter. And they left the car in a shambles, throwing things all over the place, leaving wiring exposed. We got their names, we got their badge numbers, we got their phone numbers, and we've got all kinds of things. Most of all, though, we've got the experience, the memories. And we've got the power to let other people know about this. It's the kind of thing that happens all too often that we hear about, we don't necessarily believe until it happens to us. So I learned quite a bit about freedom of speech in this last couple of weeks. How it's something we've got to really stand up for and keep close to us. You see, we were lucky. We knew we had absolutely nothing that could be used against us. And they tried for 3 hours to find something. So we could get a bit cocky after a while and tell them that they were wasting their time, told them we didn't like being treated like this, but we saw the other people, the black people, the Hispanic people, the families. We saw how scared they were and how they couldn't say anything against this. So if you're in a position where you can speak up against this kind of a thing, you've got to do it. Yeah. Okay, the program is Brain Damage. It's 12 minutes to 1 o'clock. We've got a full switchboard. And I guess we should take some phone calls as we listen to Grand Central Station. Okay, the questions are Hillary Clinton's daughter's name, who should Ross Perot pick as his running mate? And what fights have you had to protect your freedoms and liberties this week? Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, joy, I'm the first one.
No, actually, you're the fifth one. I just decided to go backwards this time.
All right, cool.
I'm sure it's going to annoy the people that are first.
I know, it probably is.
Usually the same people are always first.
Sure, I guess other people call before me.
Yeah, but usually always the same people are first because they've got the speed dials and all that.
Well, I got that too, so.
You do?
But I call the show a lot, but I have no particular name.
You have no particular name. Okay, well, we have no particular, you know.
I mean, like, Mr. Quayle has his name thing, you know. I'm famous on the sports section, so.
Okay.
Okay, let's see, what do I want to talk about? Okay, what do you think is the best way to commit suicide?
You're going to ask me a question like that?
Yeah.
Oh, are you trying to, like, propel me into national stardom or something like that? I'm going to tell people how to kill themselves, then people are going to start doing it, and then... Okay, all right.
Do it like Kennedy did.
No, don't do it like Kennedy. No, this is what you do.
Okay?
Kennedy!
First of all, you got time, right?
Uh-huh.
So what you do is... You know, you go through your childhood and all that, make sure that, you know, those years are behind you, because those are the worst years of your life is your childhood. I don't care what anybody says.
No, I think when you hit puberty, that's the worst part of your life.
All right. But it sort of goes up from there. But any event, all right, go through puberty, too, and get into the teenage years and all that.
Okay, well, I am a teenager.
Okay, great. Now, your 20s are the period where you get to sort of get back at everybody that annoyed you while you were a teenager.
Okay.
You know, you can sort of, get a job, make more money than they do, or perhaps travel a bit and have more fun than they do. And then you can sort of, you know, show up at one of these 5-10 year reunions and sort of spit in their faces and say, hey, look at me and look at you. You're working 9 to 5 somewhere and you're getting absolutely no place.
Okay.
Now, the 30s are a good time to sort of build upon that, to make it, make your life grow a little bit more so that you can stick around for that 25th anniversary where you really give it to them good. Because a lot of people think, you know, after the 10-year anniversary or 5-year anniversary, that's just like, you know, a lucky thing. It's going to go away real quickly. But if you show up at the 25th anniversary as well and show them the same thing, that you're not down yet, you know, you're still ahead of them, then they're going to get really, really upset thinking that, hey, you know, maybe this guy is going to live out his entire life and be better than me the whole time.
Right.
And then they're going to start getting ulcers and heart attacks early in their lives. And you know, you'll get the satisfaction, and that's what you live for, the satisfaction of seeing other people go down before you do, okay?
All right.
And then once you get good at that, you can probably do it about maybe a couple of dozen times to a couple of different people, and that includes girlfriends, boyfriends, parents even, and if you're really lucky, your own children. You know, you can make them feel frustrated.
All right, that's
pretty
good.
By that time, you know, you're getting kind of old, and life is sort of slowing down. And then I just suggest, you know, jumping off a cliff at that point.
Okay, like at like what age?
Mid-80s.
Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's good, too, because, you know, you get exercise going to the cliff.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're quite a sight going down, I can tell you that.
So is that like what you tell all people that are thinking suicide?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to do anything, it's always best to wait.
Yeah. Okay,
wait
right.
As long as possible, and then do it right. How old are you, sir?
I'm 17.
17. Okay, well, look, you can start preparing for this now.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I got 1 week off of high school, so.
All right, well, look, call me in about 60 years.
60 years? You think you'll still be alive?
Well, unless I beat you to it.
77, then what? You'll be what?
All right, 55 years.
All right.
Yeah.
52 years.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, what I want to talk to you about this Ross Perot, vice president.
Yeah, who do you think it should be?
How about you?
I should have said right from the outset, don't say me, don't say you, don't say Mickey Mouse, don't say anything like that.
No, that's real. That's interesting about Mickey Mouse. I had a sources of this teacher told me that every 4 years they get like 2,000 or 3,000 people that actually vote for Mickey Mouse.
I know that. I know all about that.
That's pretty funny.
I think it's, yeah, I guess funny is one thing. That
What would happen if Mickey Mouse was actually elected president?
You really want me to think about that?
Yeah.
Well, I thought about it. I've come up with a blank. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
All right?
All right, cool.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. For our second call. Good evening.
Hello, this is Rich from Wisconsin.
Hi, Rich from Wisconsin. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
It's really bad about what happened to you in Canada, right?
Sorry? No, it didn't. No. Everyone's saying that. It didn't happen to me in Canada. It happened to me here. Canada was great. Canada is an amazing place. It's not hot. People are a lot more laid back. You know, I say Canada has all the advantages of the U.S. and none of the disadvantages because, you know, they have the same sort of way of life, but they don't have to worry about, you know, sending troops everywhere. They don't have to worry about invading countries. It's a much nicer place.
All right, there are three things I want to talk about.
Three things, okay.
Science and politics, which is fall into one category. Baseball and bowling. Okay?
Maybe we could skip the baseball and bowling. But go ahead.
I want to know, why doesn't the government put more money into science? Like space programs and alternate energy forms?
That's a very good question. I don't know. They should, because science is a very important part of the future, I think. They should put more money into education, because that's an important part of the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. It's just plain dumb. I mean, and this is something that both the left and the right make the same mistake on, because, you know, exploring space, I don't care what you say, that's the future. And you've got to explore. If you stop exploring, what's the point of living?
Because they should take a lot of money out of the military and stuff and put them into the space program.
Of course, yeah. We don't need the military as much as we needed it before.
Well, the Cold War's over and everything. We don't really it doesn't have to have it anymore.
Right.
Because it's just totally pointless, wasted money.
I mean, we're not going to use the military unless we feel that oil is threatened. Obviously, we don't care enough to help the people in Sarajevo like we did the people in Kuwait. So I don't think we're going to be needing the military.
Unless they strike oil in Sarajevo, we're not going to be going in there.
There you go. Okay, strike oil in Sarajevo, and then maybe we'll go in and help then. Yeah, that's a good idea.
They just say, yeah, we struck oil in there.
Yeah, we just got to get them to believe it.
Well, that doubt. I also think that the space program should be put a lot more money into.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if we had put money into it where we would be now? We'd be on all the planets exploring things. Who knows what we would have discovered by now?
Because we should, like, put a project to terraform Mars and... It's already been on a small scale in a laboratory, but that's put a major production into it.
Yeah.
There's
all kinds of things. I'm sure there's life on some planets in this solar system as well. Life that we don't quite know yet, but life of some sort. I mean, there's life on this planet we haven't discovered yet.
Yeah, and there's probably on Venus or something. So they should, the government should put more money into putting a whole bunch of Venus or Mars.
Certainly. I'd like to know how many people agree with that, because I think there's a large number of people that feel that that's important, especially younger people.
All right. And is Bill Clinton's daughter's name Nick?
Nick?
Nicole, as in Nicole?
No.
It's not?
Nope.
All right, I just want to say hi to my man Adam Krause and Aaron Josephsberg, who is, you know the Pro Bowler store?
Wait, are they both your men or only one man?
They're both my men.
Okay.
And you know the Pro Bowler store? Like, on that's on Channel 7 and stuff?
I see that in TV Guide. I see Pro Bowlers Tour, and I always turn the page. So, yeah, what about it?
I'm still going to be going out in the Pro Bowlers Tour pretty soon. I want to wish him good luck.
Oh, okay.
Wait, hold on. Rob's here, and he wants to talk about something.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I feel that seven players should have made the All-Star team.
Okay, I'm sure if he feels the same way.
Yeah, Cecil Fielder.
Uh-huh.
Eddie Murray. David Fleming.
Well, we're getting the whole lineup here, huh?
Yeah. Kevin Apier, Greg Olson, Frank Thomas, and there's one more, Nick Beck.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, here's Rich.
That would be
all right.
Best.
I just want to say one more thing about the space program, right?
Yeah, please.
That if we could put a probe onto Mars, all right, I'm not talking about just like a probe, a manned probe, we could find so much stuff there and we could terraform it and make it a habitable place for Earthlings to live.
Yeah, or a big prison or something, but you know, something good, hopefully,
right,
not a garbage dump.
There's a way to do it. You just put chlorofluorocarbon-producing factories on the surface. That will put chlorofluorocarbons into the atmosphere.
Wait a minute, you have this all figured out, don't you?
I have it all figured out.
How'd you get it all figured out?
I am an astrophysicist.
How old are you?
I am only 15.
And you're an astrophysicist?
Yes.
How did such a thing happen?
I wrote a lot of books, so I am declared an astrophysicist.
I see.
Yes, and this is how you want to hear how you do it? I'm serious, this will work.
I know you're serious. I'm sort of in awe, but go ahead.
All right, you put chlorofluorocarbon-producing plants onto the surface. That will therefore release chlorofluorocarbons into the Martian atmosphere, which will make it warmer, like it did on Earth, the greenhouse.
Rich, you got to calm down, because you're getting all excited here, and people aren't going to, you know... Okay. I know you're exuberant about this. I know that, you know,
excited.
Astrophysicists really get into their, you know, their work here, but you got to sort of... work with the rest of us dummies here and talk slower and we'll catch on eventually.
Okay. Then the chlorofluorocarbons will go into the atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
It will make the
Now you're talking too slow. It's like you're being patronizing.
Okay. And that will make the atmosphere warmer.
That's better. Okay.
For melting the polar ice caps, which will make the canals on the planet that we have discovered into lakes. The lakes will produce life-like organisms that were like the first creatures on Earth. And they will grow bigger and bigger, and they will eventually...
They were real losers, though, those first creatures. I mean, they were boring as all hell.
They crashed into things and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we can put trees onto the planet and grow, which will change the carbon in the atmosphere into oxygen. And within a period of 200 to 250 years, it will be able to support mildly support life.
Oh, Metroliner.
Where'd that one go?
That was another northbound Metroliner there.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
Right?
Sorry about that. They come through now and then.
All right, so do you think that's a feasible plan that would work?
Well, how much time do you need for this?
200 to 250 years.
Only 250 years?
Yeah.
You know, I think I read something like that in a science fiction story once.
Not science fiction, it's science fact.
Yeah, but no, science fiction is based on fact. I mean, Arthur C. Clarke virtually invented satellites.
Okay.
You know, so a lot of science fiction writers really are thinking of, you know, what is possible.
I have a question for you, Mr. Astrophysicist.
Yeah, that's me.
Can we send all the homos up there?
Well, it depends. You have to give them jobs building houses, but not into...
I don't know where that voice is coming from, but never mind.
Who is that?
I don't know. Anyway, anything else?
No, not really.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
All right, live long and prosper.
I'll try. 632-6901-632-6500. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Okay, how are you?
Yeah, so if I get those kinds of tools, what do I get?
What do you want?
Okay.
Okay. I can accommodate that need.
Is it Chelsea?
You know, I think you're right.
Cool.
Chelsea is his daughter's name. That's very good. How did you know that? How did you become so educated?
I got my Triple magazine this afternoon. I was just glancing through it, and I remembered seeing an article on it, but I didn't read it. When you said that, I ran to the kitchen and got it. It was there.
Which magazine is this?
People.
Ah.
A story about how, like, she's so proud of her father and everything.
So through People magazine, you become educated.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's something very inspiring.
Really? What do you call it? That's a pretty interesting story about the, whatever it is, the Border Patrol or whatever.
Yeah, does it surprise you?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta think of the way you look all the time. You know, it rubs people the wrong way. And people judge you by the way you look. And they assume that because you're a certain color, because you wear your hat a certain way, or because you speak in a certain way, that you're a certain kind of person. And that, you know, I'm sure that's something that we've talked about here before. It's just never true, I think.
Yeah, that's
very
cool.
Seldom, anyway.
What do you call it? I want to talk about something that, like, a lot of people don't like talking about, but I think it's an interesting subject.
Okay.
I want to get physical.
Okay.
My doc, do you think they should give senility tests to doctors over 65?
Senility test to doctors over 65. Sure, why not?
Because I walk into a doctor's office. The doctor's like no hair, bald, glasses. He didn't look like he could see the eye chart himself.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's going senile. The guy grabs my knee, tells me to cough, then hits me where it hurts it with a hammer.
Well, they're supposed to do that, aren't they?
not in that order.
Wait, what's the order again?
He grabbed my knee and told me to cough and hit me where it hurts with a hammer.
Yeah, I guess maybe that is a little bit out of order there, but, well, you know, I mean, you've been doing this for so long that occasionally you might want to try some variations on a theme.
Yeah, I think I got to find a new doctor.
Well, you're lucky that's all you have to find.
Yeah, really. Can I say hi? Wait, can we do teleconferences, please? Back,
it's a bit late to start teleconferencing.
Why? Last week we talked till 3:45.
Well, yeah, but don't you remember when we started teleconferencing? It was once a month. We can't do it once a week. It takes too much effort and time.
Well, no, but what about like just putting like people who just want to talk to each other on, like?
That's what it is in the first place. That's what teleconferencing is, putting people who want to talk to each other together.
Right, but just make like 1 5-person, then just leave us. You don't even have to come back.
Right. And then the first person after the 5 is going to be really, really upset. Look, we'll do it in a couple of weeks, I promise.
All right, okay. Can I say hi to a few people?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Matt, happy birthday. Valerie, welcome back. Jen, good luck in Florida. I'll see you soon. Okay, and special hello to everybody listening over at Pinkies. Mom, Dad, come home soon.
Okay, sounds reasonable to me. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. What are we listening to now? Oh, that's a good question. We are listening to... it just says Helper, Utah. I don't know what it means, but it sounds like a train idling. Listen to that bass response. Oh, yeah. Okay, 632-6901. Good evening, you're on the air.
What's up?
How you doing?
This is Rob from Montana.
You sound out of it tonight, Rob.
I've been waiting a little while.
Waiting a little while. Yeah, I am going backwards. That's true. You've been waiting longer than anybody right now.
I'm sorry, but I have to make a comment.
If you're sorry, but you have to make a comment? Why should you be sorry?
What? Because it's not a very positive one.
You going to insult me or something?
No. It's just that, it's getting a bit boring. Too much political stuff. Because last week, your range of ages for listeners was about 15.
I wasn't here last week. I can't take responsibility for anything that happened last week.
Well, they said the range of viewers, listeners was about from like 14 to 16.
Uh-huh.
And that's not even voting age. And they have a while to think about it. But, you know, this is a call-in show. You know, it shouldn't just be politics. It should be fun.
Should be funny, huh?
Well, it should at least be entertaining.
Entertaining.
Know?
Well, what do you think we can? I mean, you know, we're talking about all kinds of things. We're talking about the Pro Bowlers League. We're talking about insane doctors, and we've got trains coming through here.
This is a good week.
All right. Well, look, you sound like the kind of person that can really liven things up. So why don't you give us an example here?
All right. The kid that was talking about suicide.
Yeah.
I think the way you should go is Jimi Hendrix style. I'm a Jimi Hendrix fanatic.
Was that suicide or was that just stupidity? You know, really. I mean, I'm not saying...
You should die like that. That's a cool way to die and looks good in the papers.
Jimi Hendrix. Hold on. Is it the cool way to die just take a drug overdose or the cool way to die to become a great guitarist, become world famous, and then die of a drug overdose? Which is the most essential ingredient there?
Yeah, if you're going to die, I think you should become famous first.
Okay, so your suggestion is those people want to kill themselves, become a great guitarist first, and then do it. All
right.
Okay.
All right. Just,
write that one down.
On acid, and then you choke on your own vomit.
Oh, that's so old. I mean, come on. You know, everybody does that.
But you got to admit, it looks good in the papers. You know, like, man 50... chokes on vomit. That would look good as a headline.
Where was it? I think it was in the Ruddles where somebody, a rock star, died by choking on someone else's vomit. But that was a rather interesting way to go.
So many people did it, and it still sounds good.
I guess you can't argue with success. Yeah, you do make a good point there.
Yeah. Kevin, you know Kevin, right?
You mean that fellow that does the show before me?
No, Kevin.
Well, then I don't know which Kevin you mean.
Andy, excuse me.
What?
No, Andy.
Wait a minute. Now his name is Andy?
Kevin or Andy?
Kevin or Andy.
Movie fanatic. Well, that was his son.
Well, no, I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember his name even.
Oh.
The person that was just on, I don't think he gave a name.
Oh.
Of course, I'm probably insulting him if he did, but...
I'm like twice a fanatic of like Jimi Hendrix.
I come in contact with thousands of people every day, so it's kind of hard to remember everybody.
Mm-hmm. But dying the way Jimi Hendrix did was, is a, you know, very cool. Looks good in the papers. And
It hasn't been in the papers recently. Maybe it's time for, like, another, you know, another flurry of activity on how Jimi Hendrix really, really fought it.
Okay. Dude, here's my suicide suggestion, okay?
I don't want to hear your suicide suggestion.
Befriend
keep it to yourself.
Befriend the Hispanic community and amalgamate
right.
with the females of the... So much
good evening. Better. You're on the air.
Well?
Go ahead.
Who is this?
Sorry?
Who is this?
Who is this?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. You've been ringing the phone now for about 45 minutes and you don't even know who you're calling?
No, because, see, I wasn't listening the whole time.
You weren't listening the whole... When were you listening?
About 15 minutes ago.
Okay, well, I'm the same person that was there 15 minutes ago, wasn't I?
I didn't hear.
What did you hear?
I don't remember.
You don't remember. Well, okay, let's take this one step at a time. Try to remember when you picked up the phone and started dialing.
That was a long time ago.
Okay, but try to remember way back then. Okay, can you try that?
Yeah.
All right, what was on your mind then?
I was calling.
You were calling, okay. So we're getting somewhere here. You were calling us here at the radio station.
Yeah.
All right. And you were calling for a reason, I'll bet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you had something to say to us over the airwaves so that millions of people could listen, right?
But first I want to know who this is.
Well, wait. Got to go with my logic here.
Okay.
That's what you were calling to do.
Yeah.
To leave a message. I mean, not to leave a message, to send a message.
Yeah.
To talk to people, to convey your sentiments about something. All right, so we've established that so far. Now...
Tell me who this is. I want to know who I'm talking to.
My name's Eric.
Oh, I knew that because last week...
Everybody knows that.
No, not me. But I...
Well, now you do. I just told you.
But I called up last week
and
somebody else was
last week, Matt was here because I was being interrogated at the border.
Oh, what does that mean?
That's a long story. I guess that's when you were
somewhere else. Wait, I'll tell you what integrated means. I learned this in social studies.
Integrated. Okay, go ahead. Tell us what that means.
Integrated means...
This should be good.
No.
That's what it means?
I know what it means. Now you be quiet so I can tell you.
I like the way she says that. Well, who knows? Go ahead.
Integrated means to be mixed up.
I guess that's one way of looking at it. I guess that's one of the few times we'll have a definition calling us. All right, let's continue onwards here. 632-6901, 632-6500. Those are our magical phone numbers here that will get you on the radio station. Good morning.
Eric.
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
All right.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I was just listening to what you were saying about the hat. You know,
about
the
hats, right? The backwards hats.
Yeah, that's freaky. I never heard of something like that before.
It's strange what happens in some parts of the country. You don't expect, you expect to get in trouble for something. You don't know what, but they always find something, and they sure did this time.
That was in St. Louis, not Canada. Right?
That was St. Louis, yeah. And who knows where else? I mean, if it happens in St. Louis, who knows what other parts of the country? Could happen right here in Long Island.
Yeah, and then that lady you were talking about that was over here.
That lady I was talking—you mean the Nazi interrogation person?
Yeah,
that was at the United States Canada border, but she was in this country. She was one of our people.
But I don't know if that was me. You know, I couldn't handle that. You know, asking the same questions. I don't know.
Well, it's
it must have made you really pissed, right?
Oh, sure it did.
Yeah.
But after a while, you realize that you've got rights, you know, and you can't be stepped on.
Yeah.
And it annoys you when you see people doing that. And you know that they're wrong.
Uh-huh.
You know that they shouldn't be doing this to you. You know you're being mistreated. And yeah, they got guns. You know, they've got authority. They've got badges. They've got all this crap.
Yeah.
But you still have, right on your side. And it really helps to be with somebody, too. It's hard to face these things by yourself. So if you're with at least one other person... you can face this thing standing up. You don't have to bow into them. You can let them know you're not happy with them.
Mm.
And a lot of times that does have an effect. You know, it sort of stuns them because they don't get that usually.
Yeah. I just wanted to get deeper in that, because I didn't, you know, that was pretty freaky when you were saying. I was like, I can't believe that would actually happen, that you'd get in trouble just throwing your hat backwards.
Yeah,
listen, Eric, did you go to Holland?
Well, no, it wasn't in the area. St. Louis, Canada, Holland just didn't enter into it. I passed through Amsterdam, New York, and also The Hague in New York.
Oh, yeah. No, because I heard somebody saying you went to Amsterdam, because my brother was out there. He's over there.
Yeah, I've been there a few times, but not this time.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Can I say hi to a couple of people out
there?
Sure,
go ahead.
I want to say hi to Dean, stop. You know, I hope everything goes right for you and Stephanie. James, cheer up, just cheer up. And Mr. Quayle, Mr. Quayle told me to tell you that he wouldn't be on because he's in Tokyo. So you won't hear him tonight.
Mr. Quayle's in Tokyo?
Tokyo. I talked to him last week.
Are they both in Tokyo or only this one?
What?
Well, is the real Mr. Quayle in Tokyo too? Maybe he just goes everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I don't know. He's the one that's always calling. He gets on like five times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he told me to tell you that he'd be in Tokyo.
Well,
I just wanted to pass that on.
Too bad he's not calling us from there. That would be interesting.
All right, or take it easy, just hang in there.
I'll try.
Or take it easy. All right.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. 632-6500, good morning.
Hey, can I say something?
Well, if you speak up some more, you might be able to be heard.
The name of your show is Brain Depths, right?
Let me just check the logs.
Come on, you know the name of your show.
Look, things change around here. I was away for 2 weeks. Sometimes administrative things get out of hand, okay? I just have to make sure. Yes, it is still called Brain Damage.
All right, then why are you so serious?
Why am I so serious?
Yeah.
You think I'm being serious?
Hey, you talk about politics all the time, man.
What's serious about politics? I mean, look at the goofballs we have running things. You tell me it's serious? Come on.
You never get into jokes or nothing.
Jokes? Dan Quayle, for God's sake, come on. Tipper Gore, what more jokes do you want? I mean, look, you want to live in a circus?
No, but you can have a little bit of humor on.
All right, let's hear a joke. Come on, jokes on demand. Let's hear one.
No, I'm just saying, just lighten up a little.
Older, more serious.
I'm not getting serious.
Age has that effect on him.
Look, we cover what is in the news, what's going on in the world, and I don't think it's that serious. I mean, it's pretty serious, but it's not that serious. It doesn't have to be.
I mean, you don't have to be exactly like Matt, but, when Matt's on, the show just seems to be a little bit better.
Really?
I mean, well, I'm not trying to insult you or nothing, but,
No, I can take some constructive criticism. Tell me what Matt does that I could emulate.
Well, anyway, last week, he was, commenting on the name of your show, and it was called Brain Damage.
And, What did Matt say about the name of this show?
He said it was a good name, but you don't have to be so damn serious.
He said that, did he?
Well, that's not exactly what he said, but...
Look at that phone list. Let's get Matt's home number.
Do you think Eric's a misogynist?
All right, now,
I mean...
Anything else you want to say?
I just want to say I had a couple of people, all right?
Make it funny.
All right, I'll make it funny. How's it going, Eric? How's it going, whoever else is in the studio, and how's it going, all my friends? Later.
Oh, boy, that's a line. Why is it called Brain Damage? Why do we call it Brain Damage? I don't know. Okay, we won't be serious. I would read the weather. Oh, here it is. Someone ripped the other weather in half. Okay. I've read the weather forecast. Now let's go on to another phone call. Good morning.
Hi, Eric. It's Jason from White Grove.
This is who?
Jason from White Grove.
How you doing?
Okay. No, I'm going to wait up the show a little bit.
Okay, that'd be nice.
I know what's fun to do. Know what's fun? Putting salt on slugs.
That's cruel.
No, it's like battery acid.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like lots of things. Like pouring beer on them, too. I hear that works, but... you enjoy seeing living creatures shriveling up in front of you and writhing in agony?
Only at parties.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, then I guess you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I got a question for you. What do you have against Mickey Mouse, man?
What I have against Mickey Mouse? Well, I don't know. He didn't participate in any of the primaries, now did he?
Yeah, but no, he has something that the other people don't have.
Well, yeah, but do we really need two big ears in the White House?
No, but he has his own club.
Has his own club? What about all the golf clubs these guys belong to, you know?
But he has a Mickey Mouse club. That's special. Well, I mean, he has his own television show.
I haven't heard from the Mickey Mouse club in years, actually.
It's on a Disney show every day. You don't watch it?
When is it on?
It's on at 5:30.
Really?
You tell me you don't watch the Mickey Mouse Club?
No.
You don't sing along to the theme song?
Well, I've wanted to, but nobody told me when it was on.
Oh, now you know. So you have to watch it. It's great.
What channel?
It's on Disney Channel. What cable?
I don't get the Disney Channel. I don't get cable. Damn it.
Cable? How long do you get cable?
It's just not wired in my area for some crazy reason.
Oh. Anyway, what country were you at last week?
What country was I at?
Yeah, they said you're out of the country or something.
No, let's see. Was I in Canada last week? No, last week I think I was in... I was on my way to Canada last week, but the week before that I was in St. Louis. But I was in Canada this week. This week, after the show would have been on.
Yeah, why don't you call some 7-Elevens up? That was kind of fun.
It was fun, wasn't it? You know, I visited a lot of 7-Elevens, and I might have even passed through some that we called.
Hey, the one that you called in Lake Grove, I live like down the street from there.
I didn't call one in Lake Grove.
You did.
When?
Last show that you did.
No, wait. I called 7-Elevens all over the country.
I know, but...
Asking
no,
who they vote for.
But what, a caller called up and told you, and you asked what kind of Slurpees they had. I'm not sure if you remember, because they talked about the beer Slurpee.
I see. Okay, well, was that me?
I think so.
When was it?
I don't know.
All right, well, who knows?
Just do teleconferences, please, like for a half hour.
We can't do teleconferences today. Next 2 weeks we'll do it.
I'm not going to be here.
Why not?
I'm moving.
You're moving? Where are you moving to?
Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Hey, I remember Cherry Hill, New Jersey. In fact, I passed through there on my way to Philadelphia.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's where all my relatives live.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Ask them if they remember the Jersey Knights. They used to be a hockey team in the World Hockey Association.
Yeah, I've heard of them, I think.
Yeah, they started off in New York... And then they were the New York Golden Blades. And then they started off as the New York Raiders. They turned into the New York Golden Blades. Then they became the Jersey Knights, moved to Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And then they went out to San Diego and became a team. I didn't even remember what their name was. And then the World Hockey Association went out of business.
Yeah, it flopped.
Yeah, that was when I was into sports. I remember all that.
You're not into sports anymore?
No. After something like that, after a traumatic experience like that, you expect me to remain into it? No. I mean, I followed that team. I loved that team. That was my team. And what did they do? They kept moving further and further away from me, and then they went out of business entirely.
What are you in the old politics?
I'm finished. Forget it. Forget sports. Sports is no fun.
24 hours
did you
of
hear,
politics.
Did you hear today? I heard the major soccer league went out of business today.
Oh.
Yeah. They're gone. No more soccer in this country. It's all over. Finished.
How about the Indoor Soccer League? Is that still there?
It's some major soccer league. Whatever that one was. It's out of business.
Oh, what, today?
Today, yeah. I heard it on the radio.
Oh, that's awful.
That's awful.
Oh, we still have the World League of Football, so...
Do you know this country stands apart from all the others? And I mean, we're not into soccer. We still give our temperatures in Fahrenheit. You know, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
We just sort of stand apart from everybody else like a sore thumb, and we're so stubborn.
Oh, aren't we?
I don't know why.
Was we raised that way?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Can I say hi to some people?
Go ahead.
Okay, hi, Val. I missed you. Good luck in Florida, Jen. Hi to Kevin, Jeremy, and Matt. Happy birthday.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
All right. Program is Brain Damage, 632-6901, area code 516, and 632-6500, also area code 516. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Not much. I have a lot of comments to make.
Sounds like you're trying to keep your voice down.
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah, picture somebody that's like, you know, talking late at night into the phone. They're not supposed to be, and they're trying to keep their voice down, but I guess that's not it.
No, I can talk. I'm allowed.
Okay. Can you scream? You call that a scream?
Arouse you.
Yeah, you'll never get a part in a Hollywood film that way, but...
All right.
What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I would just like to make a statement that... You know how they were talking about Jimi Hendrix and committing suicide?
Yeah.
That way?
Yeah.
I think it's just the fact that he drowned in his own vomit that makes it cool.
Drowned or choked? Let's get it straight.
Drowned.
Okay.
Because he was laying on his back, and when he puked, it went down into his lungs, and he drowned. Isn't that gross?
Well, only if you don't really think about it in depth. Once you really, you know, go into detail about it, it's not gross anymore. It becomes sort of fascinating.
If you say so.
Yeah, I say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're Eric, and you have that right?
I guess I do. I don't know.
Okay.
So what else is on your mind?
Not much. I just want to know why some people kiss your butt.
I don't know. And I guess we never will. Good morning.
Hi, this is Joe from Baiting Hollow.
Baiting Hollow. Wait, don't tell me. Baiting Hollow is out east.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, don't tell me. Baiting Hollow is in the northern part of Long Island.
Oh, that's it.
Really?
Very small little town.
Okay, now it's beyond Wading River, right?
Yeah, it's beyond Wading River.
But it's not beyond Orient, because Orient's the last thing on the island.
And you're Calverton.
You're Calverton, huh?
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty far away.
I can just barely receive the radio station. But anyway.
All right.
For the suicide person, for some reason, I don't know why this is, but for some reason, trains comes to mind.
You have this,
I don't know why
subliminal
this, trains for some reason. I think that probably do.
The subliminal train message that you keep
it
receiving.
It probably comes from the
yes.
father figure. The train is a phallic symbol of
yes.
the father coming at you. What you need to do is, like Luke Skywalker at the end of Empire Strikes Back, is to go to the woman, to fall into the giant womb of a woman, your wife.
Now,
let 40 stuff is bullshit, come on.
Of all,
good morning.
Damage.
Hi.
Yes? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, don't joke about suicide. It's not very funny.
Well, I'm not joking about it.
But a good way to do it is you take an empty hypodermic needle, you shake it up, and you inject yourself with it.
Uh-huh.
All right, and you have a heart attack, and it doesn't look like suicide because what happens is you get an air bubble, and it bursts. Looks like a heart attack.
Yeah.
Okay, that, my ninth grade bio teacher taught us that.
Your ninth grade bio teacher taught you that?
Yes. I had an interesting bio class, that's all
I did. I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Anyway, this whole politics thing is pissing me off, because I'm 17 and I can't vote this November.
You can't? Well, who would you vote for if you could?
I don't think we have any outstanding choices out there, but I think the safest way to go is Bill Clinton.
Why?
Because Ross Perot is completely inexperienced and George Bush is a complete idiot.
What do you think of Tipper Gore?
I can't stand her.
Well, what do you think of putting her in the White House? You know?
She's the vice president's wife.
Yeah, she's a heartbeat away from being the first lady.
I think Al Gore is a better vice president than Dan Quayle.
Well, that's a good point. Well, who would be your favorite vice presidential candidate? Like, let's say Ross Perot is able to pick somebody that you really like a lot. Is there anybody?
Yeah, who I really want to see run.
Yeah.
Bradley.
Who?
Bill Bradley.
Bill Bradley.
Yes, I do. So, do you think he could do a good job in this?
A Perot-Bradley ticket, what would that be?
No, not even with Perot. He'd make a good president. Oh, you got the train?
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's coming through on my stereo.
Yeah, there's a train going by.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do about it. We just happen to be here.
Anyway, I'm not surprised about the whole customs thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, you're a young person, and when you're young, old people don't like you.
I don't think it was that. I think it was just, you know, I had this look. I have this look. I don't know what it is. It's something that authority figures can't really seem to handle. But
that's exactly my problem.
Yeah, but, you know, some people can't change their look. It's like, you know, their race, their color, whatever. They can't change that. I can change my looks. I can become, you know, I can wear a suit and tie and look the way they want me to, but I'm not going to for that reason. But what about all the people that can't change?
Yeah, well, what's the point of conformity? It's unhealthy.
Right. I agree.
All right, maybe you can help me out, though. I have a problem.
Okay.
All right. Actually, wait a minute. Weren't you here 2 weeks ago? Or was it three?
2 weeks ago, I was on the phone. 3 weeks ago, I was here.
Because I talked to you about Monty Python a couple weeks ago with a girlfriend of mine.
I don't think that was me.
Yeah, it was.
Was it? Okay, well, refresh my memory.
Talking about coconuts.
We talked about coconuts?
Yes, we talked about coconuts. Anyway, she disappeared. And if she's...
Yeah? Hello?
No kidding. No, my sister just came in to tell me that I was on the radio.
Well, that's nice of her to do that.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so Christy disappeared, and I just wanted to say that if she's out there and she hears this, she should call me or she should call home.
Well, she just disappeared one day.
Yesterday, she went to work.
Uh-huh.
She didn't come home.
Uh-huh. Has her family done anything?
They called me.
Have they called anybody else?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I talked to her stepmother.
Well, is this like her to do this?
Every time she's done it before, she's called.
So she has done it before?
She took off twice this year, and she did call both times.
Uh-huh.
Just to let them know that she was okay. Does
she listen to the program?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully.
You got me started listening.
Okay, she knows who you are, she knows your number, and she knows she can call
can.
Now? All right, well, I hope she calls, and if she's listening,
you know,
she should do that. It'd make people feel a lot better.
Yeah, she should.
Okay.
Anyway.
Let us know what happens.
I wish I had something interesting to talk about, but, I mean, there's politics. And...
Well, you know, people think that politics isn't interesting, but, you know... Yeah, politics itself is rather dull and humdrum, but it's what comes out of it that affects how everything, you know, winds up for all of us.
We've got Al Franken on Comedy Central doing Indecision 92.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a Saturday Night Live fan, so I may watch it just to watch Al Franken.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for calling, and let us know how things turn out.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
The program is... Brain damage, and we only have about a half hour left. So if you want to call and be part of things, give us a call now, 632-6901 or 632-6500, and we'll see what's happening, or something like that. Yeah. Good morning.
Hi, this is Little Miss Integrated.
You again?
Yeah.
All right, you don't have as good a connection this time.
What?
But you hung up on us last time.
No.
You know. Or did you say no?
I remember.
You do remember that. You remember hanging up on us?
Yeah.
Okay. So what train of thought do you wish to continue on that you did not finish last time?
Don't know. But I remember I called up last week.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't here last week, so there's no way I can share this memory.
Well, I did, and I was talking about guys. And all the guys that I'm having trouble with. Because I'm cheating on them.
Well, how many guys are you cheating on at once?
I don't know. But I finally made up my mind to go out with just one of them.
Well, that's nice. Are you having a semi-final type of a playoff type of a thing, or did you already make up your mind?
Well, I made up my mind.
You did. And, okay, well, that's good. Have you announced your decision to everybody?
No.
All right. Are you going to use the radio to do that?
No, because they'll get mad at me. So I don't want to tell them.
Well, look, this is not the kind of thing you can keep secret. They're going to find out.
Okay, everybody, I chose person number 3.
Yeah, now don't you feel better?
Yes.
Everybody else will understand, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Do you have teleconference?
Not this week.
All right, then I'm going to call back next week. Well, no, I'm going to be in Florida.
Call back in 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, I've got something to look forward to now. 632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Hi, this is F. Richard Keyes.
What?
This is F. Richard Keyes. I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank everybody who helped me with my surprise party tonight, my birthday. Thank everyone who came and everybody who arranged it. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, thanks for sharing that with us. Yeah, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing? Who's this?
Me again.
You again. Oh, it's you again. Okay.
Hi. Another thing. That girl just called last.
Yeah?
Wonderful girl. Who did she choose?
Number 3.
Number 3?
Yeah.
And I thought she was going to choose person number 2. And they were, fighting or something. I don't know. Weird. But anyway, I just want to say good luck to that girl, Jennifer. So.
All right. Well, look, she picked number 3, so I think we all have to live with that decision.
Okay, nothing. What do you got playing in the background, the train thing?
There's no trains anymore. They're all gone.
What happened to them?
They all passed.
Really?
We had trains of all sorts pass by, but they're all gone now.
Oh, really? Was it a record player or something?
This is a CD called Riding in an Open Vestibule. Spectacular sounds of railroading around the USA, and it's all recorded digitally.
Why?
Why? That's a very good question, but, you know, you can, I don't know, it's kind of... I can't put it into words. It's kind of neat sometimes to hear trains go by in your ears.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just, since I hate politics so much, I just want to ask one thing about politics.
Yeah.
Who would you vote for?
Right now, I really don't know. I could have voted for Clinton a couple of weeks ago, but with Gore as his running mate, I have a lot of problems with that. And it's not so much Gore, but it's that Tipper Gore really rubs me the wrong way. You know, I wish they weren't attached. I really wish they weren't.
What about Perot? You think he's good?
You see, Perot has an advantage right now in that I don't know. You know, I don't have anything really negative to say about him except for the fact that there's something about him that scares me, but that's not enough. Like, I see the potential for him to become a real dictator. And he's got a lot of power. He's got all these people doing investigations for him. Who knows? Who knows what he's capable of?
People say that he's starting to fade out of the primary, out of the votes now.
Yeah, I've noticed that. But he hasn't really done anything to warrant that. It's just kind of like the polls keep moving on their own accord.
I don't know, because, like, if I think that if he becomes president, he'll probably, like, control the whole White House and everything. Like what happened from Franklin Roosevelt on, you know?
Well, I mean, he's not going to have many allies in the House and Senate because, you know, he's an independent. There's only one independent.
Yeah, but if he has money, you can get whatever you want.
Well, maybe what we need is to see how true that is.
It is. Know? I mean, how do you think JFK got assassinated?
Well, we all say that, but Ross Perot will be living proof.
I don't know, because, like, all the assassination of JFK boiled down to was money, because, like, JFK was going to keep the people out of the Vietnam War and everything.
Right.
And, you know, like, he was going to save a lot of money. Well, actually, he was going to waste a lot of money that way, because, like, a war brings a lot of money. What is that noise?
You know, I hear that, too. I didn't know if anybody else heard that, but that's the sound of a pulsing phone. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's our phone connections here, which aren't always the best quality.
Who's that other guy on the other side that guy was talking before?
I don't know. We get strange people wandering in here now and then. Nothing to worry about.
Kind of like had an accent or something.
Yeah, well, you know how people are.
Anyway, is the big guy coming on tonight?
He's coming on, yes, in 25 minutes. So, set your timers.
All right, cool.
All right, thanks for calling. And a lot of people have expressed through postcards already the fact that they enjoy the train sounds. And they enjoy hearing them come by. So for them, for that purpose, we are going to relive the Metroliner experience. We're going to come back to the phone. Oh, I turned my microphone off. Why did I do that? We're going to come back to the phones in just about a minute. But sit back and listen as the Metroliner speeds by at 115 miles an hour, south to north. Oh, that wasn't that fun. Well, it's good to have trains come through now and then, but we can't overdo it now, can we? 632-6901, 632-6500. The program is Brain Damage. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Yes, thank you very much. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Come on, you'll think of the name. Go ahead.
I just like that other person that called it. What's your name?
Yeah, well, We won't dwell upon that, will we?
We're coming back. You said those from Canada, those guards, you said they had badges?
Yeah, well, customs officials.
Badges? I just had to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, you know...
And they
you know,
showed us their stinking badges, too, I might add.
A stinking badge.
Yeah.
You know, I got this whole election thing figured out.
Okay.
Clinton's got too much nonsense in his past. Perot is too much of an unknown. So we're going to stick with our own dirty, smelly laundry, and we're going to keep it another 4 years.
Yeah, it may stink, but we know it at least.
Right, at least we're comfortable with it.
I don't know about being comfortable with it, but we do know what it is.
Oh.
Fear of the unknown, that's what people always shy away from.
Well, it's like on a really cold day, and you're lying in bed, and you have one of those dreams that you have to go to the bathroom, and you really do, and you wake up. And you don't want to get out of bed because it's too cold, but you have to change the sheets anyway.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like. It's kind of smelly, but at least you're still warm under the covers.
Well, I'm sure you've just made a lot of people nod in agreement there.
Well, you were joking about the politics before. It is a joke. It's a whole big joke. I like to think it's a
subtle joke. You know, while I don't come up with a lot of one-liners and things that make people split their sides, what we do come up with here is something that's kind of, you know, it sticks with you. And you might laugh at something that we say here maybe 3 or 4 hours from now.
Well, these guys are all...
stick with you.
They're all a bunch of banty roosters strutting around and making all their promises and all their noise, and then it's just going to be another 4 years of the same old thing. And it's just going to be a slight difference between bad and worse.
Uh-huh.
And,
so you think Bush will get it?
Yeah, I kind of think so. You know what's going to happen? We got this whole... He tried calling Bosnia and has served...
Herzegovina.
Yeah, thank you.
Who did?
Somebody did. Somebody called over there. I don't know if it was you or...
Well, I tried a long time ago.
Calling all these weird places to see if AT&T had them in their...
We did that a couple of months ago.
Well, what's going to happen? You know, they got ships off the coast of there now, and then they're promising some air support.
Uh-huh.
And then, well, maybe we can get a couple of troops in there just to watch. And then maybe we can get some troops to escort. And then maybe we can do this, and maybe we can do that.
No, but look, there's you know, this reluctance to send troops in, which is the exact opposite of what we did with Kuwait. We were so into sending troops from the beginning. From the very beginning, we were into sending troops.
Tell
me what the difference is.
Look what Bush's popularity was for Kuwait.
And you think that's why he's doing it?
He had, the opinion polls were like, 85% of the people would re-elect Bush if the election were held today.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And now all of a sudden it's down to less than 30%. You know, what happened? We had a war. We had national pride and all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe there's something brewing over there, and they're going to bring it out, trot it out. Let's have a war. Let's bring our American pride. Let's let George Bush lead the country in this time of crisis and have his nonsense go skyrocketing. You know, the opinion polls are back up for George Bush and all this other garbage.
Uh-huh.
And,
you think it's going to happen then?
I don't know. I think it's a distinct possibility that we have to look at. You know, every time there's a war, the focus shifts away from the local problems and it goes to the foreign policy. Every president we've had has been fairly good with foreign policy. Carter with the Middle East peace talks. Nixon went over to China. Ford, well, no. You know, Reagan did a whole bunch of stuff, you know, standing up against the Soviet Union. All these guys, they get good foreign policy, but when it comes to the domestic issues, you know, they're lousy. All of them. Carter had the price freezes and the wage freezes, and Nixon had his Watergate thing, and Ford was just totally inept. Reagan had his Reaganomics and Star Wars and all of that nonsense. And you know, Bush has got his economy and all this other crap that's down the toilet. But look at all their foreign policy. You know, let's make people forget about how bad things are at home and focus the emphasis somewhere else. And that's what they do. That's what they do. They put the emphasis out of the country, and people say, oh, he's a great president. He's a great leader.
Yeah, but... You know, after a while, that wears thin. After a while, people see through that, like you're seeing through it.
After a while? Look at American history.
You think it's just one big endless loop?
Oh, sure. But then again, you could say this country's been in dire straits for the last 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started out with... Look at all the wars we've had. The American Revolution, we started with that. The Spanish-American War, the Civil War, the Mexican War, the French, the Indians... We fought everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had everybody as an ally, and we've had everybody as an enemy, for crying out loud. And this country does best when it's at war. And that's look at our history, and that's a fact. And it's a sad commentary on the...
Why do you think that is, though?
Why do I think that? I don't know why. That's one question I don't have the answer to. I can just look at history and see that it is. You look at World War II, you look at World War One. I mean, for crying out loud, we were in the throes of a horrendous depression right before World War II. And then look at the boom years of the 50s. People were buying houses and cars, and they just went crazy in the 50s. And the craziness of the 50s turned into the nuttiness of the 60s.
and the boredom of the 70s.
The boredom of the 70s.
And the selfishness of the 80s and the danger of the 90s.
Yeah, we gotta watch out. You know, they say economic times are hard. Economic times have been hard. They've been easy, but for the most part, you know, all right, let's have a war and take our problems out of the country. Put the focus somewhere else, and everybody will forget that we got 8% or some nonsense like that of unemployment. And Bush, read my lips, no new taxes. Hey, no new taxes. Just let's raise the old ones. You know. That's what he did. They didn't institute new taxes. They just made the old ones higher.
Oh, it was clever, wasn't it?
Oh, sure. They didn't lie. These guys don't lie.
Oh, no, they do, but...
Why should they lie to us?
But the reporters don't catch it.
They're
too busy doing other things.
They're representing us.
Well, sir, I'm getting depressed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You talk about being too serious here, and now you're making me depressed.
Don't worry, be happy. Hey, there is a light side. I saw George Carlin at the someplace, the Paramount in the city.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, I'm not worried about planet Earth. Planet Earth has been here for 4.5 billion years. I'm worried about mankind. It's all going to be elementary. 1,000 years from now, you look back and see who's worried about whether George Quayle or Dan Bush, or it doesn't matter who his name is or what he looks like, or whether he's a Ross Perot. It doesn't matter. In the cosmic scheme of things, doesn't really matter. Maybe it affects us right here and right now. And the thing is, how many people are going to get off their duffs and do something about it? And that's why I like programs like this. Get people to think. Get out there. If you're 17, get your parents to vote. Don't let them sit around saying, oh, my one vote isn't going to make a difference. If you're only 16 or 17, get your parents to vote. I'm sure as hell going to vote.
Okay.
Everybody ought to vote.
And hopefully you'll get a whole lot of people listening to vote, too.
Yeah.
And not only just to vote, because it's not just one day a year you got to, you know, be an active person, but, you know, become part of things, talk about things. If you don't read the papers, you don't watch the news, you don't know what's going on, then you're a victim. You'll just have things done to you all your life. If you listen, pay attention, then you'll start getting angry and active about certain things, and you'll start making a difference. You'll change things.
You have to act. You have to do something.
Right.
You know, it's like these abortion people. You got the pro-choice and the anti-abortion and all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
They're doing something, you know, whether it's legal or illegal.
Yeah, that's true. You have to feel something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you do learn doing that. So, you know, my advice is try it out. You know, try being active for a little while. If you don't like it, you can stop.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most people, once they get into it, they realize how important it is.
Yeah.
All right, listen, thanks for calling.
Thanks for being here.
All right. 632-6901 and 632-6500. Those are our phone numbers. And speaking of phone numbers, I'd like to try an old favorite of mine, see if this line is open or if it's busy. We have a ring. Calling George Bush's press line. Yeah, this line is almost always busy. I can't believe it's ringing. In a way, I'm kind of honored to have gotten through this time. Listen to that. We have the assurance of knowing that particular ring is ringing in the press office of George Bush. This is indeed a banner day for us here at Brain Damage. Incredible. Okay, we're going to listen to one more ring, and then we'll continue with our show. How about that? Most amazing. I haven't heard that ring in, it must be about 5 years now. And it's the same, pretty much the same as I remembered it. Pretty much the same. Now you can tell your grandkids that you heard that. All right, now we're going to continue with the radio program here, which is Brain Damage. We have about 12 minutes left. Good morning.
Good evening. This is Mr. Bush. Don't need to call my press office. I'm right here. How you doing?
Well, what a coincidence that you should happen to be on that line.
You know, I heard you coming, heard you ringing, decided to just call up them, heard you on that listener line that you got there.
Tell me, was Saturday night on tonight? You remind me of somebody else, but never mind.
You know, I'm here in Germany at the Economic Summit.
Well, that's right. That's why there's no answer there, at the Economic Summit.
You know, there's Boris upstairs.
No, wait a minute. He's in Finland now, I think.
No.
I think he's in Finland.
He's not there.
I can find out, but go ahead. Continue with...
Upstairs, he's having a little too much to drink.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what are you doing up there? And what do you think of Al Gore?
Well, I told you. I mean, Al Gore, actually, I haven't really had a chance to say much about him. I hear good things about his environmental record. He's, you know, a fairly good Democrat. He's a friend of Tom Downey, who's our local representative, one of our local representatives. And all that's fine and good, but you can't get away from the fact that Tipper Gore is his wife.
Who do you think's better, my lovely wife, Barr, or Tipper Gore?
You don't want me to answer that now, do you?
I don't know.
No.
Your own judgment.
Let me rephrase that as a fact. You don't want me to answer that.
Okay. I understand where you're coming from.
Okay, as long as you understand that.
What do you think? I got the polls right here. My popular...
Put them back. Just because you're in Germany doesn't mean you can take over polls.
It's down to 45%.
Uh-huh.
Very sad day.
It's a pretty sad day, all right.
Barr took the Kleenex out. Very sad.
Yeah.
Just wondering, do you have any trains from Germany in there?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see if we... I think these are only American trains on this particular CD.
Gotta get those German trains.
We've got cable cars in San Francisco.
Could you play a little of that for me, please?
I suppose I could bend the rules a little bit. I have to put the CD back in the machine if you...
You're a very nice young man out there.
Hold on. Thank you very much, sir. Hold on a moment there. I'll just cue up the magic buttons and we'll... In no time, have cable cars from San Francisco coming over the airwaves. Here they are.
Very, very privileged to hear them. Driven in those very often.
Yes, they're nice. I've been on cable cars myself.
When I was head of the CIA.
The cables actually run under the street.
They do.
And it's,
I remember back in my day when they had them all around town.
They go up some pretty steep hills, and it's sort of like a constant machine under the street that's moving all the time. And the cable cars are just... They're not actually moving. They're just attached to this moving mechanism. It's like an escalator. And they're just sort of moving along with it and coming back and forth and back and forth.
So you're a very interesting person. That's very interesting.
Well,
thing
I studied this up. I majored in cable cars, in fact.
Now, where was this hotel in... shopping mall in St. Louis?
Ah, the shopping mall was the Northwest Shopping Mall in St. Louis by the airport.
But you know, since you're such a nice boy to me,
you know,
I'm going to give them a call down there, say, whenever Mr. Eric Corley comes down, he can wear his hat backwards.
Well, thank you. Sort of like a presidential pardon.
Yeah, maybe even call those people up in Niagara Falls, talk to them, say...
Well, no. It was not the Niagara Falls crossing. I've never had a problem there. It's the Montreal... to Plattsburgh crossing on the thruway.
Oh,
that's
about
the
that
one.
Olympic Stadium?
Well, that's where Montreal is, but Montreal's far away from where this took place. I want everybody to know the problem took place in the United States, not in Canada. Canadians are very nice. The Americans are lousy.
You know, I should call them because they sound like Hitler people.
In fact, I don't have it with me, but I do have their phone number.
Very good.
In the 518 area code.
If you could call it to my press office, I'd be very pleased and very happy.
Okay, Mr. Bush, I'll keep you very happy and pleased.
I'd like to get a hold of those people.
Okay, well, listen, I appreciate your concern and
Very much for your time, and I'd just like to say, everyone, good luck to whoever's going to that national convention out there in the city. Heard the streets are cleaner than they've ever been.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you for your time, and I'd just like to thank you very much. Very nice boy.
Okay, thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Whew, man. Very, very nervous when people like that call. Anyway, let's... Those little beeps there mean that we're calling a number. We're going to call all the way out to St. Louis and see if we can find a number for that mall. We'll be talking to a Missourian. Listen to that.
Southwestern Bell.
Wow.
Can I help you?
Yes, hello. Is this information for St. Louis and environs?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. I'm looking for a number for a mall out there. It's near the airport. It's called, I believe, the Northwest Mall.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see here. Northwest Plaza, I think.
Yeah, that must be it.
Yeah, shopping center. Okay, did you want the information number or the management office?
Oh, the management office will do just fine. Thank you.
Thank you, and hold for the number, please.
Thank you for calling. The number is 298-0071. Repeat. The number is 298-0071. If you need further directory assistance, an operator will return.
That's an area code 314, by the way. We'll get the other number as well, since we're allowed to get more than one number per call.
May I help you?
Yes, hello. Can you give me the other number for the Northwest Plaza?
298-2624.
Okay, and what is that for again? That's for...
information.
Just for information. Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Bye-bye. Oh, that's so nice out there. But don't wear your hat the wrong way. That's my advice to you. Okay, we'll call the information one first and see what they say to us. Okay, is our dial tone. We're calling 314... Uh-oh. That shouldn't have happened. Now, this doesn't make any sense. Oh, you know why? I know why. Well, I'm just going to have to get rid of that person and... Okay. I was dialing out on the restricted line. But we're calling information now. See if we get a recording or something. Or if we just get a ring, that's possible too. Sometimes you get recordings. Usually after four rings, but we'll give it six rings. One more ring. Okay, that's it. That's it. They're out of chances. Now we're going to call the management office, which is 314-298-0071. It's likely they don't have any recordings. They don't want to answer their phones at all, even though it is pretty late at night, even over there. Well, be assured that anybody within the sound of that ring is wearing their hat on the right way. And that's a number that's going to be getting quite a bit of attention in days to come. Well, let's rifle through a few more calls, yes, as quickly as we can possibly go, because we're almost out of time. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'd like to, you know, I had a similar experience coming in from the Canadian border.
Did you?
And the thing that got me, we brought a lot of T-shirts and stuff, and they actually took the receipts from us and made us pay sales tax, you know, coming back in. That's what got me really pissed off.
Really? How much did you buy?
No, we bought like $50 in T-shirts and stuff.
That's illegal. You're allowed to bring in $400 at least worth of merchandise without having to pay any duty on it.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but, you know.
They probably took the money for themselves. You know, they kept asking us over and over again how much money we had, and they kept asking to see it. I don't know if that was a subtle way of asking for a bribe or something, but it was pretty disgusting.
Yeah, you know, and they pulled us over. You know, we had long hair and everything, and everyone else was going through, the white people, and it was ridiculous. And one thing, there were like 20 cars, you know, coming up to like that toll booth thing, and we actually saw a, you know, very, you know, clean-cut guy get out of his car and take, like, a package and throw it into his trunk. You know, we saw this was obviously something he didn't want them to see. And, you know, he breezed right through. And, you know, we got pulled over.
Amazing.
Yes.
How long ago was this? 5 years ago. And which border was it?
You know, the same one coming back in.
Same one, huh?
From Montreal to, you know, New York.
Amazing. Yeah, I've been pulled over twice at that border. This is the second time now.
Really?
Yeah, and that's really the one I've had the most problems with. Kennedy Airport, if you come into the international terminal, you do have a problem there if you don't look the right way. If you come in with an airline, a major airline with lots of yuppies on it, you really won't have a problem. But if you come through with a lot of foreigners,
right.
who knows what's going to happen to you.
Yep.
Well, listen, thanks for sharing that with us. Hope it didn't leave you too embittered.
Yeah.
All right, take care. A lot of that kind of thing has happened to people and throughout the country. We have to share these experiences as they happen to us. And I'll keep having them, I guess. And as I have them, I'll continue to share them. We'll be back again next week, hopefully talking about more fun things. But what we talk about is up to you. Stay tuned to the big guy, for the big guy, rather. Stay tuned to him after he gets here. I'll be back again maybe next week. If not, at some point. Good night.
The contents of this program may alter.